Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your man, Jeff, a.k.a. Blacksmith, jumping off once again on the Jump Off with the Jump Off Podcast. That's a lot of jumps.
Hey.
That's right. We are back and better than ever. We have a somewhat complete team, more complete team than we've had in the last couple of weeks. We have yours truly, Blacksmith, on the line. We also have the man, the myth, the legend, that dude named Dave. What's popping there, dude?
Hey, yo, we got all three of us on the show tonight. Damn. I can't talk about no one behind their back tonight,
exactly.
Huh?
You gotta say shit to our faces, virtually.
Oh, I do it in your face, behind your back, whatever. You know me.
Hey, DSI.
Hey, don't get no realer than me, brother. As we're recording this on a Tuesday.
No doubt. How you feeling, man?
All right, you know. I mean, you
walking
know.
Regular?
I say 50-50. I have my good days and my bad days. I'm back in the office now, and they see me limping, you know, every once in a while. So, you know, I got the drugs in the bag now. I feel like a pharmaceutical distributor with all the drugs I carry with me, and I'm in the city. I must say, before we get started here, before we get to the other person on the line here who actually showed up tonight, that, you know, this afternoon I'm walking this hot-ass weather, and I saw a crackhead running about 50 miles an hour. It was unbelievable. I haven't seen that in 6 months, so I know I'm back.
The crackhead dash.
Yeah, it was noon. It was like 98 degrees out, and he was running for his life. And the funny thing about downtown Chicago, no one turned their head. They let the crackhead run.
98 degrees, no Nick Lachey, huh?
That's right.
I know JD was thinking that.
Yep.
Speaking of.
Yep.
Go ahead and introduce the other guy. Let him do his intro.
Speaking of, we also have J to the motherfucking D, live and direct. What's popping, man?
Yo, seem like it's been forever.
Yeah. Back from the ball factory.
Hey.
Yeah, we keep that on the, you know. I don't think that's supposed to be out there.
Somebody want to ask me about it, they can ask me about it, but I'm not going to put it out here like that.
Yeah, he didn't put it on Facebook, so I figured if it's not Facebook official, then we don't want to talk about it.
It's about as official as it can get, but I ain't putting it on blast, you know.
Right, keep that
on. I didn't say nothing. I just said something.
Keep that on the low, literally. All right.
How you doing, JD?
Oh, I'm living, man, living the life, loving it.
He's loving it. Wow.
Living the dream.
Hey, you can't. It don't matter what's going on, man. You always got to say you're doing great.
that's false flagging, ain't it?
That's dry snitching on yourself.
It's the power of positive thinking, and then
law of attraction.
And secondly, I don't know if I think we've talked about this before, but when you have a person, you ask a person how you doing. I think it was Jeff's story.
Yeah.
You ask a person how you doing, and they say, oh, man, you know, shit is fucked up right now. Like, you don't want to hear that. You just want to say, okay, and keep it moving. Like, you know,
you don't really want to know how they're doing.
You know, shit is fucked up for you right now?
Yeah. You ask that, you don't really want to know how they're doing.
Nah.
Well, sometimes, I want to hear the real sometimes. This life is fucked up. Tell me about your fucked up life. Your girl cheating on you, lost your fucking job, you fucking broke, you know? I mean, damn, you over here just weak in these streets. Sometimes I want to hear that. Make me feel better about myself.
You said weak in these streets.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, you know, I'm good for new things, you know?
Wow. Well, shout out to all of our fans. We hit 700 members, actually, within the last couple of days or today on our Facebook fan page.
It's actually a couple of days. I saw that, okay. And I was like, oh, snap, we got off that $6.99 tonight. I had to remove one person.
Yeah, they come on there trying to do a little bit of fishing.
Fishing and spamming.
Yeah.
People, we do not sell on the Facebook group page. You're not coming here trying to solicit stuff. You will get removed.
Yeah, we don't fuck with body wraps and Crocodile Jordans.
Crocodile Jordans?
All right, we don't do that.
And designer sunglasses. No.
Yeah, we don't, right, exactly.
Can you imagine how fast that niggas in these streets will be buying them shoes?
Crocodile Mikes.
The Crocodile Mikes.
Nigga, you got them Dundees.
Crocodile Mikes, huh? Okay. I never heard that one before.
Them Dundees.
You see? That's starting to catch you right now.
Exactly.
I'm going to call Nike up and see if we can get that going with MJ. I bet you the niggas in the streets, man, South Side and West Side, be popping with them.
Exactly.
All
But yeah, shout out to all of our fans, old and new. And, you know, the Facebook page is always popping each and every day. So if you ain't on the page, I don't know why the hell you ain't on there yet. So you can always reach us on Facebook at the Jump Off Podcast is our – or Jump Off Podcast is our Facebook fan page. And that's pretty much the best way to get at us, so.
Yeah, and we love the fans, but we are not giving away a goddamn trip to Vegas.
Cheeto.
Yeah, speaking of dry snitching, he was, I mean, that ain't even snitching, that's the lie.
Yeah, no. I had one of my high school friends who I ain't talked to in like 3 years come on the group page and comment on it. I'm like, damn, Robin hit it up here and saw that. So Tito needs to cut that shit out.
Unless Tito is going to pay for this shit.
Right, unless he's paying for it. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. He could be our financier if that's the case.
Exactly. Fellas, do y'all want to leave any other contact information? Because I'm cool with just saying hit us up on Facebook, because that's pretty much...
Make it do what it do with Facebook.
That's pretty much where it's at. I don't really fucks with that Instagram or that Twitter too heavy.
We on there, but we ain't on there.
Yeah, we on there, but we not. If you hit us up, we'll get it, though.
Right.
shout out... We just want to initiate. Shout out to chroniccast.blogspot.com.
Blast from the past,
boy. That was a long time ago, but, you know... Much love for tweeting out our episodes.
Yeah,
man.
Shout out to the BGOL fam, man. I was perusing the page one day and they had a post about podcasts, and people were suggesting podcasts, and lo and behold, the jumpoffpodcast.com was on the list. So
are you serious?
Yeah. I like that. That was pretty cool.
Shout out to BGOL.
Damn, are you serious? I'm sorry, I should already asked you that.
you got caught off guard there, Jeff?
Yeah, I did.
I'm serious again.
That's love right there.
No, now he's not serious.
Exactly. Why not so serious? Cool.
Shout out to our community. That's good stuff.
Yeah. We've been trying to build this community 3+ years, 3.5 years right now, so we're doing the damn thing. Y'all ready to dive into tonight's show?
Let's talk about it.
Okay, cool. Well, the one thing that I want to, you know, kick it off with is... We're recording this on a Tuesday. This is 2 days after the infamous MTV Video Music Awards. And that's been definitely the talk of... That replaced the Kendrick Lamar story as just the talk of pop culture or whatever.
Hey, before we even jump into that, Kendrick Lamar was at the VMAs.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was.
Last time I checked was in New York, and mm-hmm. I heard a lot of New York MCs saying that Kendrick wasn't welcome in New York, and let alone Brooklyn. So, Papoose, you got some shit that you need to say. I heard some of the shit that you were saying.
That nigga came and performed in New York.
Right.
Yes, he did.
I was waiting for him to die at any point in time.
You thought he was going to assassinate the VMAs?
Papoose.
Shit, I was hoping they would sacrifice Drake instead, but that didn't happen.
Oh, no. I got a few things to say about Drake, so I was replaying it before we got on the air here, so I'm like, Jeff, why don't you kick it off here before I start?
Yeah, this is going to be like a good 20 to 25 minute roasting session of various people from that. Because I'm sure everybody wants to hear what we got to say.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, I mean, as you all know, the awards came out on Sunday, and me personally, I've come to view these award shows as basically train wrecks. But the thing about it is, they're no longer good anymore, but you have to watch them because you don't want – I feel like I don't want to miss that moment that everybody's talking about, even though I know overall the show will be shit, but I still have to watch it because I have to be in the know.
Even with the replays, MTV had on MTV – VH1 and MTV2. So if you just like an MTV head that watches all their programming, you were fucked Sunday. You were forced to watch the show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you recognize that or not. It was on every single channel that MTV owned. I think it was on MTV Hits. If you got Comcast 472, which not even in HD.
472.
Not even HD. Okay, people. So that tells you how hardcore the MT was pushing this out. It was on every channel. I think VH1 Soul, you know, Black Soul had the VMAs on. That's how much.
VH1 Soul. We interrupt this Deborah Cox video. Nobody's supposed to be here.
Deborah Cox, damn.
Shout out to Deborah Cox.
Oh, I talked to her back in 99.
What?
It was a concert.
The R. Kelly concert for the was the Half on the Baby tour.
So you telling me without saying DSI, you got a Deborah Cox story?
Yes, I do.
Damn. Every douche have a Cox story, right?
Yeah.
And it's Deborah Cox with her Canadian fine ass still. Hey, it all goes down. Yes, she's Canadian like Drake. Yo, I got silence on that one. Damn.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Don't ever bring Drake ass into.
All right. Yes, I the other day I'll tell my Deborah Cox story. But yes, I do have a story about her.
That is hilarious, Dave. The biggest story of the VMAs, hands down, was Miley Cyrus's performance.
Miley, yeah, she.
And wow. I'll kind of just give my take on everything on that part of the show. She came out, you know, she did her new single, and you know, she got the tongue thing going. I guess that's her new catch thing. She takes her tongue all the way out. Kind of in a quasi meth. Haze type of situation going
on. A meth lizard. That's what she is.
A what?
A meth lizard.
Yeah, meth lizard. So I guess she's a meth lizard. She likes to, you know, bend over and touch her toes and kind of gyrate and shake and to put it.
AKA twerking?
No.
Yeah, I guess.
No. I'm convinced that she was only shaking her lower back and her upper legs. That's it. Yeah. There was no ass there to be twerked.
Can I make this statement here now, since we're on Miley here? Why is it that she's twerking and everybody in the media and social media, quote unquote white people, sorry white people if you're listening, make it seem like she invented twerking? Because and out of nowhere, like, oh my God, she's twerking and twerking's huge now. I mean,
it hasn't been. Go ahead, I'm sorry, that dude.
Let me say this, and then I want you to add in that. Luke had his bitches twerking back in 88. We're talking about 25 years ago.
Right,
Luke was
but
twerking.
It wasn't mainstream. She made it mainstream.
Hey, Luke was mainstream. Hey, banned in the USA? Luke was mainstream.
Yeah, but the fact that it wasn't mainstream enough for people to give it its credit.
Hey, all I gotta say is, before I even knew what the fuck twerking was when I was 8 years old, little girls were twerking then. And that was, you know, and all of a sudden she invented twerking, and everybody told me, "Oh my gosh, she's twerking." I mean, I got a problem with that because the girl with a flat ass ain't twerking.
She does the heroin twerk. Like she's cool for the young white girl who has nothing going for herself.
No, she got the Heisenberg twerk. Yeah. That meth twerk going. I mean, you gotta have ass. Jeez. And you gotta have some little round to twerk with. I mean, I've had pimples in my middle school days bigger than her ass.
Oh, shit.
You know, that's how flat her ass is.
She twerked like she got twerk damage.
Yeah. She got twerk syndrome. but the thing about Miley, I mean, kind of the backstory on it, everybody knows she was Hannah Montana, and supposedly, you know, she's really trying to shed that whole Disney or Nickelodeon or whatever, that kiddie image, and really come into her own. And there's actually a lot of MCs, well, not MCs, hip-hop rappers, whatever we want to call it, who are giving her mad props. Mike Will, who, for those of you who don't know, he's the one that produced Beach Is Better, sick-ass interlude off Jay's album. Why the fuck was it an interlude?
Right.
But Mike Will's been working a lot with Miley Cyrus, and he's, like, you know, big upping her. He's on that bandwagon. Juicy J, who Jeremy and I hold near and dear to our heart because we fucked with 3-6 Hard Body.
Close.
I don't really fuck with Juicy J. Huh?
Really fuck with Juicy J?
Yeah, I don't really fuck with his new shit as much because I'm not – that kind of passed me up, his newer stuff. But
98 to 06.
Yeah, but anything 98 to 06, we fucks with him Hard Body. Yeah. But Juicy J has had a reincarnation of sorts in hip hop because he has a bunch of twerk songs out now, and he fucks with Miley, man. She'd be on the stage at his concerts popping, and he's giving her mad props. So she's gotten, you know, the pass and the cosign from a couple of folks.
I don't know if she got the full pass.
Not the full. It's not like Lil Wayne is cosigning her.
She don't have a Timberlake pass.
No, not that. But she's got the ratchet. She got some to a certain extent. She got the ratchet pass.
She got Robin Thicke's pass.
You know why do a lot of people, and you know, I guess of various nationalities other than black, but it seems like when people want to get out there and they want to be wild and they want to do all this stuff, and you know, she's breaking free of her Disney past and all that shit. Like, why do you got to start fucking with black people then? Like,
because that's the ultimate fuck you, and I think that goes back to just. I mean, that goes back as far as we can remember. It just
isn't that fucked up though?
Like, yeah, it's gravitating to the total opposite. But
it's fucked up that, you know, considering that you gotta, in order to show your full rebellious side, you gotta hang out with black people and try to imitate black people. Like, man,
that's how Drake got on.
Because that's the ultimate. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he went from the whites to the blacks.
Yeah, come on, man. He's a Jewish Canadian, man. And they
Bun B in Houston. And
I was going to say, they took him to Houston, threw him in strip clubs, and all of a sudden he's hot now.
Yeah.
Man, can I quote Paul Mooney real quick?
Go ahead.
Everybody wants to be a nigga, but nobody wants to be a nigga.
Yeah, real talk. they want the fringe benefits, but not the full effect of it.
Yes, that's it, man. And that's exactly where she's at right now, because, you know, like you said, she's getting co-signed by, you know, by people. And, you know, I think that there was a little bit more of a growing acceptance until the VMAs, and it was just like, it was too much. Like,
it was forced. The thing that most disappointed me about that is the fact that the directors, whoever, the producer of the show, had to do a set with Robin Thicke. And I know a lot of that stuff from what I read, you know, she wasn't supposed to be groping him and licking his neck, and she did. But the fact that they were in the same set, I think that they have two totally different audiences, and there's no reason why she would have been better suited with Gaga, in my opinion, or doing her own set. But the fact that she was out there with Robin Thicke and did what she did, like, it's fucking crazy to me. And I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, it's media takeout, that Paula Patton came hard at her backstage, tried to beat her ass. After she twerked on him and licked and grabbed his dick and licked his neck, she tried to go ham on
Paula Patton. Paula Patton's always drunk at the award shows. Even when she's not drunk, she looks drunk.
Yep.
All right, so if they said that, I believe it. Because she looked like the type when she gets a little lick in her system that she starts throwing high heels and pumps and shit like that.
And the fucked up thing about her, Robin Thicke, unlike Miley Cyrus, we know this is going to be his first and probably last time he ever performs at the VMAs, because Lightning is not going to strike twice with that type of single, that wonderful single he had, Blurred Lines, and being able to perform that song like that. So, like, I feel like it was a wasted opportunity for him. They got overshadowed by this Vera DeMilo wannabe.
Damn!
And then, too, you know what was crazy, man? Like, and this is something, this isn't, you know, like, the VMA producers didn't do this, but it's more so some of the subliminal stuff. Like, I don't know if everybody's heard of it, but the internet meme, the pedo bear, is everybody familiar with that?
That bear that she had on stage.
Well, no, it's just the pedo bear is a bear that people put into like gifs and shit. Like, and whenever you have something creepy, like people would make gifs of like Chris Hansen on To Catch a Predator, and like the bear would be like lurking around a corner, like looking at, you know, like trying to see what was going on. But anyway, anytime some pedophilic type shit is going on, the bear is near. But that's the reason why, like, she adopted that bear, and like the bear is in all her videos and shit. And it's like it's sort of like, you know, tongue in cheek, fucking with the pedo bear.
Oh, the ones the pedophiles who used to love her as Miley?
Yeah, like that's just so creepy to me. Like, it's one thing to embrace, you know, something negative, but like don't flaunt it out there like that and have everybody dancing with the bears and shit. And like it jumped over into the creepy realm. I think she was gaining some real traction amongst the black community, but after this, like, did y'all see Will Smith and his family?
Yeah, they were grotesque.
Oh my god! Like, and then they had you know, Rihanna and the One Direction guys. Everybody looked bored as fuck. Like,
shout out to Rihanna for giving Drake the stone cold face when he performed. Did you see that? Everybody was standing up.
Yeah, you know that was her girlfriend she was with. That's her.
Yeah, wife. You know, started from the bottom. Now everybody's standing up, right? You see her sitting there like there's no music on. The lights are on. The show is over.
Yep.
I mean, man, she gave the cold shoulder for real. When they got that close, that's like TV, like, platinum when you can get that kind of close up, you know?
And the fucked up thing about that, though, is, you know, Drake could hit it anytime he wants to still.
Yeah.
She was just mad that night.
Well, I think anybody injury can hit it that night.
Hey, can we move on from Miley and talk about Lady Gaga's performance real quick?
She had the opening performance.
Yeah.
She had the opening act.
I don't really give a damn about her performance. I wouldn't mind seeing her twerk a little bit because she working with something in the rear end department.
As Kevin Hart says, she got them yams.
She got them yams.
Yeah, she's working a little trunky. Like,
she looks awkward when she's doing her choreography. But she can sing, and I respect her more than I respect Miley because she's always been that way.
Right.
That's her deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it would have been great if they would have paired Miley with her. Had them tongue kiss and finger fuck each other. That would have been great.
they could do that. That would just be a rerun of what happened with, you know, Britney Spears and Madonna. Right. About
it would have been a modern day version. It would have been good because they would have compared it. It would have been good.
So
they just, instead of tongue kissing, they should have had finger fuck. And then it would have been like, oh, they outdid Madonna and,
next
you know.
Next level.
Oh, right, next level, 2000 shit.
Bang, finger cups. You know, something like that.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could have burned a Hannah Montana poster on stage. You know, shit like that.
Know,
they could have got real buck, but I don't know.
Can I say this, too? What was an underrated performance was Kanye West.
Yes, the meaning of that song and everything like that.
And the way he performed it, that the production and the way that was strictly done for TV. Like, if you was there at the award show, you would not have enjoyed it. The way, of course, you're going to see replay over and over again, YouTube and the internet, you know, feed, things of that nature. But the meaning behind the song, you know, Blood in the Leaves, and what the way that was produced, that's probably one of the most underrated performances no one's talking about.
The thing about it, though, like, the message behind it is powerful, but the auto-tune aspect of it, some of the screaming where people don't understand exactly what he's saying. But, you know, for those who don't know, Blood on Leaves is a sample of a song from, who was it, Dave?
I can't remember the exact song.
I'll look it up. But that tree in the background is the lynching tree. It's a famous tree down south. And so he was actually making a really huge political statement there. But again, the vessel and the way in which it was display can be confusing to the masses and who don't really know what he's getting at.
Hey, can I say a little something about that too?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Fuck that performance, man.
Whoa!
Fuck all of that performance. I didn't enjoy it at all, and I knew what it meant, but
I didn't enjoy it.
Right. I'm tired of Kanye trying to, man, like I've said on Facebook, can we please get Kanye from 2005 back? Before he was trying to make statements, before he was trying to be this personality, we had somebody who made genius level music that was, you know, widely accepted by the masses. Like, he doesn't have to be a political activist. If that's what he got in his heart, that's cool. But to me, and, you know, this is just my observation, but that's what everybody's listening for is my observation. But my observation is that he's one of those cats that, he doesn't necessarily stand by these causes. He just does them to be controversial. And that this is the next level of him being controversial. Like, before you know it, like, with the way Kanye's music has progressed, his next album is going to be 68 minutes of just silence. And then he's going to come up and boom.
Like, Booty Tang, huh?
And I mean, like, what the fuck? Like, I really enjoyed Kanye and, you know, his first three albums. And then, you know, it started to dive off the sort of the deep end a little bit. But even before, you know, even before this last album, you know, I was still rocking with him to some degree. But it just seemed like the music that I really enjoyed from him is gone now. And I don't know if we're ever going to get that back. Like,
Can I make a statement here about Kanye real fast, and then we'll get back to VMAs here? I'm looking at, looks like, that performance, and I can hear what you're saying, JD. I'm thinking now, and this is just from what he's portraying, even that interview he's going to have with Kris Jenner. If you only seen him and everybody dogma on Twitter, the way his voice sounds and stuff like that. I mean, we're seeing someone here now who has got to the point of he always wanted what he wanted, and he's not happy. He's always had this chip on his shoulder since day one about people talking he's not a rapper, he's only a producer. And then he finally got an album, but people don't think he's not a good rapper. He's just his gimmick, and he keeps trying to push it. And he got one thing about him. He's a wonderful artist, how hard he works into his craftsmanship. But then he went to a whole other stratosphere with Kim Kardashian. That's a whole other show. I'm just saying now this Kardashian shit is next level shit than what he was never on before. It's one thing to be a big superstar in the music game. It's another thing to be a pop star. star, which he is now with Kim Kardashian. He has everything he wants. He's got the fame, he's got the money, he's got the fortune, and now he's in this Kardashian shit, and he does not look happy at all. Look at every single interview, every run-in of him on TV since getting with Kim. And he is not the same Kanye. I know he's had issues with his mother passing away, but he is an artist who is not happy, and you're seeing the repercussions of someone getting everything they have, and now they don't want what they all have.
I just wanted to tell Day this, man. Like that, I really think you nailed it directly on the head with that. Like that's, I never thought about it like that, but that's exactly what it is, man. Or at least from the outside looking in, that's what I feel it is.
Yeah, it's a whole. That's a whole other show for our fans here. Let you know, if you wanted to talk about that, I can go 40 minutes on my own breaking that shit down. But just from the snips, from your synopsis of what you're saying, I want the old Kanye back. You know, from 2005. I'm just looking at it from, you know, from this performance, and I'm seeing the conflicts of what he wants to do as an artist and being a pop superstar of Kim Kardashian and, you know, like that Jedi, you know, and then, you know, you got the dark side of the Force shit. And here's what, then what we're seeing here is Kanye's Anakin Skywalker moment right now. He just fucked up in the head.
He is, and just to clarify, too, with Blood on the Leaves, this sample is Nina Simone.
Thank you.
Nina Simone's Strange Fruit, and also that's actually what sampled from Billie Holiday's version of Strange Fruit, the original one. But yeah, I think Kanye is at a point right now where he's chasing something, and he's not even quite sure what he's chasing, but he's trying to chase something and strive for something, and he's setting standards for himself that basically he's not going to be able to ever achieve what he's setting himself out to do.
And can I tell you who's – no, this is not rehearsed here. I'm glad you said that, Jeff. You know who the same person, same artist who was like that over 70 years ago was John Coltrane, one of my favorite tenor sax players, saxophone players of all time. Whenever you listen – if you're a jazz artist or if you're, you know, into jazz music, if you listen to
Love Supreme is my favorite.
Love Supreme. But if you listen to all his albums, he always was constantly searching. You can tell by the way he played, the way he improv, the way he wrote, the way he used his scales, the way he – was just using different things. He was searching and searching and searching, and he was never happy. Hence, that's why you see a big of the drug-induced views of his music with the heroin. But that heroin contributes to him that he was never happy, and he never can find that perfect sound, that perfect chord. And he kept searching and searching and searching to his demise. So that's funny you say that, Jeff, because John Coltrane, who was a musical genius, it was the same way.
That's a great parallel, that dude. That's a wonderful parallel. And I think that – and that can be – you know, that can obviously, like you said, lead to your demise. Like you're not content enough with what you've accomplished or what you're doing. You're always trying to get more, trying to do more.
And when you're an artist, you got to find that – you got to find that thing that gets you going to the next – that next piece of artistry, that mastery, you know. And it's the ones that who are great are the ones that can get so consumed of it till it brings them down. That's their detriment.
And that's why I always – I'm amazed at Jay-Z because he does not seem to – he just does what he does. He doesn't let that shit overwhelm him.
You know why?
Why is that?
He has other outlets now.
Yeah.
Music is not his only thing now.
Yeah.
What is Kanye compared to – like if I'm using Coltrane because I'm a big Coltrane fan and I know the history of him. And we can use other parallels for other artists. But Kanye has other outlets. I mean, Jay-Z has other outlets now. Ever since he got started, I mean, with Rockefeller Records, with Dame Dash, they had Rockaware.
Yeah.
They were building other things as they go. Kanye is a musician. His whole thing has been about the music. He's a producer who wanted to rap. He can rap, and he's doing both things. And he's consumed of the art. Yeah. He doesn't have another outlet.
That's kind of like
same thing like Michael Jordan in basketball.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant.
Yep. Kobe doesn't have an outlet. Yep.
They don't have an outlet. They're consuming. They become maniacs.
But even Mike had the thing about it too. Like comparing Mike and Kobe too. Retirement wise, I think that Kobe's gonna be worse off than Mike because Mike has the golf, the cigars, and shit like that. Kobe ain't got nothing.
Yeah, Kobe was retired.
Yeah.
Michael's gambling. Anything he did, gambling. Golf, gambling, you know, he whatever was competing wise, Mike is consumed by competing.
Exactly.
So it didn't matter what it was. He competed. It didn't matter. He played checkers, and he was consumed by competing.
Yeah.
So that's the same thing we can say with Kanye right now. He's so consumed, and, you know, and hopefully, I mean, it's not going to end right now because he has a child with Kim Kardashian. It's one thing you can say he could tear himself away from it. He's stuck in this pop lifestyle now. He can't get away from it, even if he leaves Kim. He's stuck.
Yeah.
So it's only up to him if he chooses to use his music as a outlet or a demise, depending on the way he goes with it for his tunnel and his way.
I hope that, I mean, I know that him and Jay are supposed to work on Watch the Throne 2, so we'll see how that kind of turns out, because that should probably be coming out next year, whatever the case may be. I do want to move on to Mr. Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about him. For him, him in 20 minutes.
Yeah, who ripped it. I mean, I saw him in concert with Jay-Z, and the one thing that surprised me at the VMAs, I didn't know that he still did. Yeah, because at the concert, he didn't really dance a lot. I was like, I wonder, does he still do the dance thing? And this motherfucker ripped it, man. Like, you know, you had the NSYNC reunion, and that was about 2 minutes long. Shout out to Jay-Z.
And my girlfriend, and that was it.
Shout out to Jay-Z Chazé, who tried to get some limelight somehow.
With his little
baby.
For no reason. I thought another song was going to start. Nothing happened.
Me too. He just tried to prove he could still sing, man. That was fucking hilarious.
And also, they went to the stage real fast after he did that. I'm like, what the fuck? That was it?
The other guys, Joey Fatone, aka Fat One.
He had on a
girdle suit. Like,
yeah, man.
Kind of cool. I could fuck with him with that because I could see myself having a rock song like that.
A girdle suit.
You brought this up because you bought the two the same size.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's props, man. It's props.
That is hilarious. What do you all think overall? One part I liked about Justin was how he said, "I still run this bitch" at the beginning of his performance. I don't know to me, JT, he's obviously above and beyond all the, you know, pop stars out. And, like, I've always been a fan of his, but this motherfucker keeps elevating himself. And, like, I know he has a second part of the 2020 experience coming out late September. Do you all – how do you all view Justin Timberlake within the context of modern music?
He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's a great performer. You can see what you saw the MTV Awards. I know you said you didn't see the dancing in the concert. But for what he displays, you know, he puts a lot of work into it, and a lot of respect goes into that. Mm-hmm. But – honestly, reason why he is where he is right now, and one of the points I wanted to bring up too, is because of black people.
Oh, it's very true.
If you look at what he established here, he is what white people want in America. And I'm going to ruffle a few feathers here. If white people can find a way to get that black sound done by white people, and you can eliminate the black people in the forefront, you got Justin Timberlake. I'm not taking anything away from JT, though. But
call it the Elvis syndrome.
Without Pharrell, all them songs that he performed, Pharrell and Timberland, put them, not even soul beats, hip-hop kind of sonic beats, but Timbaland and Pharrell did a lot of similar songs, a lot of similar tracks for a whole lot of black people. They ain't getting that same VMA love. So it's great. I love him as an artist, but when you find someone who can give you that black sound that's white and black people accept it, you got JT.
I think it's a perfect combination, though, too. It's kind of lightning striking because he is obviously very talented. And to your point, that dude, he does have that production, that backing.
Yes.
To add that urban edge to it. But this has been going on. Like I said, you talk about Elvis. You can talk about, you know, Michael McDonald, Tina Marie. Blue-eyed soul, you know what I'm saying, artists.
Mm-hmm.
All history have when they've struck that combination, they've, you know, skyrocketed. Or you can talk about Eminem. You know, I always would have the Eminem
chief. Macklemore and, you know, what's going on with that right now.
Right. And I don't mean in those situations, I don't blame the artists for it.
No, you can't.
They can. However, it's a perfect marriage of, you know, the talent and also the backing. Are there any – but it doesn't work the other way, right?
You no, a black think about it.
Who makes white music who's – who's
no.
I'm trying to think of that.
I was listening to –
Drake.
Bomani Jones talk yesterday, and he made a point that, like you said, with the Elvis syndrome – like, they call Elvis the king of rock and roll, but Chuck Berry is the king of rock and roll, who's a black man. And they took a lot of his material, almost all material, and redid it to the point where that then they kind of chopped out the soul of it, but it was still rock and roll, and you kind of toned it down where that, quote-unquote, the white establishment would like it, and they had hits. So that's the way I see JT. I'm not mad at Elvis. Elvis had more things than rock and roll. He did his thing. You can't get mad at the artist.
Elvis was a hero the most.
Yeah.
You know the rest.
Yeah, you know the rest. But that's what JT is. And I can't get mad at JT. He's doing his thing, right? But it's just funny how when you're able to have that backing, when that black people can accept it and white people like it, you don't need black people anymore.
Hey.
And that's what the VMAs are about. Now, I wanted to make this point here. There was not one award that a black person won that was on the air. There was not one major performance that was the headline done by a black person other than Kanye West. And I don't put Drake in there because he's Jewish-Canadian. I kind of said he's Canada Dry, you know? And the VMAs were one big shift to the future. The VMAs were supposed to be based on Brooklyn. We're bringing us to the Barclays, this new center here, and we're bringing Brooklyn back. And all you have is little Kim trying to speak in her Brooklyn accent, who didn't even have a fucking Brooklyn accent anymore. She sounds worse than Katy Perry. You know, you didn't see Diddy there or Jay-Z there representing Brooklyn.
That's what I was kind of surprised by, because I was waiting for Jay-Z to show up at least during Justin's segment and show what he sings.
Yeah, that was very weird.
The point I'm making, though, is that MTV is visualizing this. This is supposed to be Brooklyn, but this is not really Brooklyn. This is what happens when the establishment takes over and gives you what they think you want it to be. And that's what the VMAs were about Sunday.
So are you saying that this is kind of an extension of the some of the mainstream media when they say we live in a post-racial society? They're saying, okay, it's post-racial because look at you have our folks embracing you guys' culture and meshing it and thriving off of it.
But here's the thing, though. Once you get a few more white rappers and a few more white R&B artists, you will not see a black person at the VMAs performing again.
No, I have to disagree with that. Like,
I'm talking about if I'm not saying again if that can happen though, because what you're seeing here at the VMAs, besides Kanye West, who was you have this major spectacle of an award show that everybody talked about. MTV's on a whole nother level now. Before when it first came out, you know, almost 30 years ago. Now, how often do you see all this publicity to music, and where is the black influence?
You know what, Dave? I think that we're reaching a point where hip hop R&B is reaching the, I guess it's crossed over into the mainstream completely, but I don't know where it's going to come from or what it's going to be, but something is next. And I don't think that
rewriting history. This is what I'm making. We're rerunning history. We see this all the time when the establishment finds something where you don't need black people or the black artistry, then you don't need it and it's replaced. We've seen this rerun. What I'm saying here.
It might be replaced, but I think that I don't know if it's going to be black people, but I think we're going to move on to something else and then they'll play catch up once again. Like it's just like with the way hip hop is, I believe at this point in time, it's only going to get worse. Like, yeah, we have our, you know, you got your Kendrick Lamars and, you know, you got your people who, you know, from time to time shine through. But with the way hip hop is going, it's not going to get to the point where it was at, you know, earlier, you know, at the end of the 1990s and into 2000s. Like, we're not going to get that back. But I think that music is going to move in another direction. I don't know exactly what
the direction is. But explain to me how every single on-air award was not even won by a black person, but all the major music was infused by black entertainment. Look, if rewatch the VMAs, if you get a chance, every single award that was on TV, the awards they didn't air, like in the beginning, like the red carpet show, they ran to those really fast. I don't know if you watched the red carpet show.
Yeah.
They ran to the such one, blah, 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 and then they kept red. What's the commercial? But the on-air stuff was all won by white people, but where was the black? I'm not trying to make it a race thing. It may sound like that, but it just seemed very odd that you had this ode to Brooklyn, an ode to Brooklyn, and supposed to bring back Brooklyn. But you only had little Kim, who looks and sounds white, no major mainstream artists who are from Brooklyn that was there on stage to even present an award. And all the awards who were won by other people besides blacks who infused all of the elements of music.
I was shocked.
I want y'all to think about that.
I was shocked even from a white perspective. They didn't even have the fucking Beastie Boys there.
And Beastie Boys represents the anti-establishment of when hip-hop started because they are Jewish, whereas white people, if you know the race, white people do not like. So,
and
you know,
aren't they from Brooklyn?
They're from Brooklyn, but, you know, folks don't like Jews. Let's be real.
Yeah, and I think that that's a great point with, you know, the lack of, you know, a Brooklyn sort of theme show. And, you know, they had an opportunity, I guess, to, or it seems like they would have had an opportunity to bring in, you know, a bunch of people to really take advantage of that, but they didn't.
All they got was Lil' Kim, who was hurting to be there, and she would act any way possible just to be on that stage for 4 seconds.
I mean, yeah, and you know what? I definitely agree with everything you're saying, Dave. And at the end of the day, I think it's just the way that the VMAs, MTV has transitioned. Like MTV. For a show or for a channel that is, you know, broadcasting the Video Music Awards, they don't even have a video music show, like on their main station. Like that's utterly amazing to me. And you know, I think music is going in a different direction. And whoever can jump on and capitalize that, and capitalize the people like me or the people like that miss the early parts of hip hop, man, they're going to be on to something. I don't know what that is, but it's got to be changing into something else, because I've reached my limit with like current rap music. I really have.
I gotta say too, like as great as JT's performance was, Pharrell was losing his mind talking about JT was passing Marvin Gaye. Like, what the fuck are you talking about, Pharrell?
He said that. I didn't hear him say that.
Google it. Pharrell was over here. But I'm talking about, oh my god, better Marvin Gaye, motherfucker. I love some JT, I'm talking you, JD. But Marvin Gaye, DSI,
that's the thing.
If Pharrell's gonna make a comparison to Marvin Gaye with Justin Timberlake, no, he's great, but you're not on Marvin Gaye level. No, that's there's some people you just don't put on there. Marvin Gaye's just holding a level, right, as far as what he's done. Michael Jackson on his old thing. You got certain people on their own level. You don't make those comparisons and putting it out there where young people are like, oh my god, I don't know about Marvin Gaye. I heard his music and sampled, but no, you don't do that because young people are influenced by that.
That's an unfortunate reality of the further we get away from something, the more people forget about it.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time, unfortunately. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless it's a Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying, or like you said, a Michael Jackson or something like that. Unless you're Michael.
Mike Tyson, like Jay-Z said.
Right.
M6.
Right. But yeah, the further we get away from certain eras and certain times, the smaller things seem to people, and that's very unfortunate. But I totally agree. You can't compare him to Marvin Gaye.
But that was my rant that I wanted to get off my chest that I've recognized. I'm watching this, and it was good production. And, you know, they waited to produce the show. You know, you have Miley doing something that people are making a big deal about. But Madonna did something even raunchier than that back in the late 80s. I mean, we're talking about 20-plus years ago. Madonna did worse shit than what Miley's doing. It's just the fact that it's the here and now. And it was like, oh, my God, they only see Hannah Montana. I've seen a 20-year-old girl who just wants to rebel and try to shed her old image.
The thing about Madonna, though, she came out the gate that way. I think the biggest surprise with Miley is that transformation. Madonna didn't make a transformation.
Miley found this transformation. She was 17. She was smoking. We seen her on pictures smoking weed. Yeah. She hanging out with niggas now. She got all black girl, big booty background dancers. She over there, she writing songs about getting high. We've seen this transformation. Maybe since 16, actually. We've seen the little bits, tidbits here to the point we're seeing now. It wasn't like with the next day, oh my God, we saw an episode of Hannah Montana, and then Sunday night, you see this. It wasn't that. There was years.
Right, but it's just, I think it's the fact that people can show two pictures and say, this is how she used to be, this is how she is now, what the fuck happened?
That's the ignorant establishment who was like, oh my God, when actually it's nothing new. It's actually tamed down from what we've seen before in the past.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Like Bill Simmons even brought up, Cyndi Lauper did more stuff that was cutting edge than Miley Cyrus on Sunday night.
Right.
In the 80s, you
know? But again, the thing about it is that it's not. I don't think it's a fair comparison because these people came out buck from jump. Like Madonna and Cyndi Lauper came out that way. That's like Lady Gaga. She came out that way. So it's not if there wasn't they if they came out that way, then it's not as much of a crazy change when you see what Hannah Montana did. Just like Justin Bieber. Oh my God, what happened to him? He was so clean cut. Blah 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 blah. You never say what happened to Madonna. You never say what happened to Gaga because they've been like that way since jump.
But here's the funny thing though. We should say this before we jump off the subject here. All these performers you're talking about. Oh my God, right? They've been in the limelight as a kid, and they get bucked. Every time you see a child star, they all get bucked. Once a child star, you see never get bucked. I mean, JT had a little buck. He was good. He may not have been wild, but JT was banging random girls before he got married. He was going through women left and right. He wasn't wild, but he was doing his thing, right? So the thing is, child stars gonna be buck. Don't freak out.
Very good. Can I?
And it's flavor of the month too. It gives us people something to talk about, and that's why we're talking about it right now. Go ahead, JD.
I was gonna say if we don't have anything else, can I end with a few quick hitters from the VMAs?
Yeah.
Quick hitter number one: Lady Gaga's ass.
Yams.
Oh, yams. Yeah,
I enjoyed yams. That. I really enjoyed that. Quick hitter number two: there was a dancer who was dancing with one Mr. Justin Timberlake. Who had some enormous thighs and hind parts. So if you got it on DVR, go back. White chick.
White chick with the short black hair, JD?
I don't know if it was short black hair. I think it was short blonde.
She had the bobcat hair? She had the bob hair look?
Man, I don't know what it was. I was too busy looking at her thighs to notice her hair.
Built like a Clydesdale?
she had horse thighs and a horse ass. That was pretty nice. If you got the words on DVR, go and rewind that.
I'll rewind it as soon as we get off this call here.
Yeah, go check that out. Also wanted to speak on the most awkward segment of the show, which was the presentation for, I don't know which what award it was or if it was before a performance, but
A$AP Rocky and Jason Collins.
Yeah, with A$AP Rocky and Jason Collins, man.
What's up with that? Jason Collins still not on an NBA roster yet, you know? And A$AP Rocky, people question he's gay.
Right.
It was like, yo, I mean, he keeps saying he's not gay, but he's going to present on stage with Jason Collins. Like, that's kind of like an omission almost, you would think, right?
I don't...
Little braids in his hair and shit like that.
Yeah, I don't understand. His body posture looked completely uncomfortable. There was about 6 feet of space between him and Jason Collins. When he referred to gay, he pointed at Jason Collins. But go back and watch it. But there's been tons of rumors about this dude being gay. So like if you're not gay and you didn't feel like that was or you felt uncomfortable about doing a segment, why would you be involved in that one segment, like all time. Any other point in the show, they could have threw him up there. Any other point in time,
he got hot records out right now where he's in rotation. He could have been on any presentation, any part. And you're rumored to be gay, and you're with the first black African American team athlete, you know, that came out as gay.
Hey, maybe he was standing with his brother, man.
Hey, I got nothing against gays. It's just like, you know, you really want to stop. You want to stop the motion.
Yeah, like don't. If he is gay, like that's. I don't have a problem with that. But
don't
up there and looking, you know, uncomfortable and shit about it, like that. That makes no sense. Like, why would you put yourself in a spot like that if you're gonna feel uncomfortable about it?
It's like running a house of fire with gasoline on your clothes.
Exactly, and then you know, I might put the pictures up there on my Facebook page, but I don't know if I really want to spend all that amount of time doing it. But there's a ton of suspect pictures of A$AP Rocky, like real suspect. So,
yeah, there's a ton of them.
Yeah, man, like that just struck me as odd.
Shout out to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. They have a very The Heist is a very dope album, and that song Same Love is great. You know, as far as bringing awareness. I was watching, and I was like, was crazy. It's a great song, but what's crazy about it is that we know that a black hip-hop artist could not make that song, and it'd be as popular, and it'd be such an anthem, and be as respected, and that's fucked up.
And not to shit on Macklemore, but to shit on Macklemore, I'm kind of tired of his...
His hair?
No, like, just him, like... When he speaks, he speaks like everything is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Like when he's up there, like, you know what? we came out with this song and we were sitting in backstage and we were trying to figure out exactly what we were going to do. And we had this come out and then we wanted to have hamsters running on wheels. And we said, why not? Why can't we do that? And it's just like, dude, get the fuck out of here, man.
He's embracing the moment, JD.
You're not that person anymore. Like, you're 100% certified industry now. So don't try to act like you still Mr. Independent, unsigned hype bullshit. You know, like, that's not doing it. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
Wow.
Yeah, that can maybe kind of mad. And then one last thing, not a shout out, but what's like the negative? I would say the Robin Thicke stole Beetlejuice's swag with that suit, man. That kind of made me mad.
It was a referee suit because he had a gold whistle.
His song.
As soon as I saw it, like I said, Beetlejuice out loud, like that.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I couldn't believe that he decided to spill Beetlejuice's or steal Beetlejuice's swag like that, man.
I was wondering why he wore it, but I saw the video for that actual song with Kendrick Lamar and 2 Chainz, Give It To You video, and it takes place. It's like a black college football game, and he is a ref, so that's the theme, you know, of the video, and that's what he was recreating.
Shout out to 2 Chainz dancers, because he had about 14 thick sisters getting it in, like Grambling style Southern, and Arkansas State over Pine Bluff status, you know?
Pine Bluff.
And I know we're giving shout outs to him for doing that, but that whole fucking performance was just awkward. Like, all of that shit.
It didn't mix right.
Yeah, Robin Thicke was just saying the whole blurred lines anyway, and not even on that second single.
They could have just redid the exact same thing that they did at the BET Awards, but, you know, Robin Thicke and, you know, his people are already trying to get people to move on to the next thing, so I can understand that, but man, I felt sorry for Kendrick being out there like that. It just didn't feel right.
Yeah, it didn't.
And then one more thing. Big shout out to Bruno Mars for dropping the most sexually explicit song I've heard in a long time. Like that shit, man. Like that shit'll get the chick's blood boiling, man. Like I think it's called Gorilla. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I really like Bruno Mars, man.
I like him too. I don't listen to his music a whole lot, but that's one artist I can tell he's a great artist, and he's true to the essence of his music. So.
Right. I got his album. I downloaded and listened to it. So, you know, I can't really shit on that dude. I like him as a musician. You know, he's definitely another one of them cats that's, you know, down with the black people. As you can see, his whole band is black. Like, he just has that sort of, you know, that.
You seen that retro video he got out where he goes like a throwback to early 80s, that video? I thought that was interesting the first time I was in. I was like, what the hell?
I was
Bruno Mars. I said, I thought that was something else. Okay, that was a very clever video to an old, like, 83 stylish videos, you know?
Right. But yeah, that's all I got. You know, those are my quick hitters.
Cool. I think we should just go ahead to the Lamar Odom story and then wrap it up after that.
Just like me, right. Yeah. I want to talk about Lamar Odom today, man.
No, you can't, Dave.
Well, if I can, you can just hop off.
You can jump off.
Jump off. Say on in. Get your John on.
John. Shout out to John. Wherever he's at.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Johnny Dangerous.
That's fucked up.
We got mad love for him, but.
I was thinking about Johnny Dangerous, but, you know, jump off, nigga. Get your John on.
Literally.
Right, like that's like four different levels of funny right there.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you. All right, let's get this Lamar Odom thing going here, Jeff. Man, what do you think? We've heard a lot of stuff about Lamar Odom. I mean, today it's August 27th,
right?
And ESPN had an article that friends and family visit him in a hotel room because of a drug-related problem that may have, that they're not saying what the drug problem is, but TMZ is reportedly quote-unquote crack that he is on and that he was missing for several days. And, you know, and they've been really worried about him saying, quote-unquote, he's had a drug problem for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I don't believe this media. I believe he may have a problem right now. I think the media is really, really, really going overboard about him having a drug problem for 3 years. Honestly, everything that's being reported does not mix right for a hardcore drug user. Jeff, if you feel what I'm feeling here right now. I'm trying to get
my thing is, I believe that, first of all, I believe he's probably had this problem for an extended period of time, and I'm of the belief that it's kind of come and gone in waves. There's probably been times when it's been worse. There's been times when it's been better. I know that he was obviously, you know, back in like 2001, he failed the drug test because of weed, right, Dave?
Yes, sir.
He's probably been under a huge microscope, you know, since then. But I do believe that there's always ways around the system and ebbs and flows. And I think that he just has that, you know, he, based upon a lot of the shit that's going on in his life that we know of, and not to mention the stuff that we don't know of, I don't find it hard to believe that he's had, you know, a drug problem.
I have a hard problem the way they're describing it, the way it's being described right now in the media. Because here's the thing about it. He's had a hard life. If you've seen Lamar, he's same age as us. I mean, same age as me, you, JD. So I've been watching this dude since high school, right? His father's a heroin addict. You know, you've seen the issues of his mother, his aunts, and shit like that. And the problems he had growing up, the reason why he was not at a UCLA or a USC or a Duke or North Carolina, UNC, he went to Rhode Island, you know, for the 1 year, and then he got drafted by the Clippers in the lottery. But we didn't hear about him in any hardcore drug activity. If anything, just like anybody you see in his situation, you know, that is able to get through it, the motherfucker smoked weed. And so in the NBA, he had multiple weed-related failed drug tests, which put you in the NBA drug program. Now, the NBA drug program is not the best in the world, but they do test you a minimum of twice in the offseason. Minimum of twice. And he was a repeated offender. So that means he had a minimum of 4 drug tests during the year and a minimum of 2 drug tests in the offseason. Minimum. With knowing him with the repeated drug tests, he had more than that. So you're telling me, through all these years in the NBA, he got that big-time contract in Miami. I think it was close to $50 million, right, when he went to Miami. And then he got the 3-year deal with the Lakers, close to $30 million. Now, we didn't hear any reported drug use. Now, we know he had problems. You know, of course, his son dying, that was a huge tragedy. And, of course, about 3 or 4 years ago, he was in that car accident, so on, died. You still did not hear any major drug uses from him. He maintained a decent NBA career. He was in, I think he won the 6th Man of the Year award. He was a major contributor to Lakers championships. Now, you're trying to tell me now that he's been having a hardcore drug problem for 3 years? I'm sorry. I don't believe that. You cannot be 6th Man of the Year, and you cannot play 82-game season, even in the lockout shortened season when he was aloof, but you cannot be in that drug program and be on crack, cocaine, you know, hardcore. It's recreational that he was practicing. I believe he was smoking weed throughout the whole time, what we talk about. I think recently, now, he has a problem. But for everybody in the media to keep saying, he got this problem, he's doing crack, he's doing this. No! David Stern kicked out everybody who was hardcore in the crack era in the 80s and ran that, you know, to roughshod. So I just want to hear you guys' feedback. I know I've been going on for a minute, but there is no way he can be doing hardcore. You can't be a hardcore recreational user. That's an oxymoron.
I think that the issue is that he has a drug problem, and we're never going to know how often he was using it, what exactly he was using, et cetera. But I think the bigger issue here is that, plain and simple, he's had a really rough life in general. He has a really rough last couple of years, and he has a drug problem.
On he some has a level. Problem now, but I'm level. Saying though the he media help, is perpetuating obviously. That he's been on this binge for 3 years, and you cannot be an NBA player who was out of shape but played a full 82 game season, you know, last year, and have a major drug problem. Because nowadays, like I know Bill Simmons even talked about it, you have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. There's a certain company that comes along with that kind of drug usage, right? There's certain things you be in certain areas, the way you act, missing practices. We're not hearing that until like the last 3 months. Now, we know he's probably fucking around on Chloe. Hell, he's an NBA ball player. All the motherfuckers fuck on their wives and girlfriends and their second girlfriends and their third girlfriends in the hood rat and the jump offs. You know, I just do not. I just do not think that what they're saying is that he's had this problem for 3 years. I think he may have been smoking weed still, and he found a way to be, you know, be recreational. I'll smoke it here, and then, you know, I go ahead and get through this. But what he got going on now is some other shit that they're not reporting right now, if that's the case, that he's in a fucking hotel room and people are trying to talk to him. Because it's next level shit now, but I don't believe 2010 that he had a coke or a crack problem. You cannot get by the NBA David Stern with a coke or a crack problem. And then play the way he's played. You can't win Sixth Man of the Year, winning the championship, and then be on coke or crack.
You know when if it didn't start 3 years ago, I think it may have started the moment he got traded from the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's exactly when it started. Like if you know, like you said, he's been smoking weed forever. Like Skip Bayless was talking about how he admitted to the Bulls before they were, you know, they were thinking about drafting him back when he was coming out of college, and you know, he admitted to them that he was, you know, that he smoked weed every day before every game. And that was one of the reasons why they didn't draft him. But I don't think 3 months ago he started smoking crack. I don't think it started like that. Like, I think that that's like, or doing coke. Like, I don't think it went from weed to coke within the last 3 months. I think that's that coke thing is something that he's been doing, and it probably explains that long streak of absences that he had in Dallas. Like that, when all that shit was going down and nobody could figure out why he was missing time, and he said that he was trying to visit his dad who was in rehab. No, you were probably in rehab. Like,
he was in rehab at the end of last season, they said it. And also, I was read someday, they're saying the NBA tests for performance-enhancing drugs but not recreational drugs during the offseason.
That must have just changed in the new collective bargaining agreement.
That's what the NY Daily News is saying. So if that's the case, he can do crack all summer then.
That could have changed in the collective bargaining agreement that just went into play, you know, about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, well, whatever it is, I think that when all that shit was going on with him in Dallas, and that's when it was really, you know, spiraling out of control, because he may have been a person who only did, you know, who had only done weed or, you know, done whatever, you know, during the off season or whatever, but he let that shit, you know, sort of get out of whack, and he started going over the deep end where he was doing it, you know, even during the season. So, and that might explain why he was gone for so long.
If he had a drug problem, he had a prescription drug problem during that time.
I think the thing we're missing, though, is that I don't think it really matters what type of drugs he's doing. What matters is I hope the brother can get help and turn his life around, because he has a problem. We don't know timeline, time frames, what he was doing, when he was tested, all that stuff. But yeah, I really hope that he's able to overcome this issue, because obviously he has issues.
Well, his NBA career is done now. But this is coming out because he's a free agent, and the Clippers and Lakers wanted to bring him back, the Lakers wanted to bring him back just for like 1 year, preserve the cap space. But I don't care what any GM's gonna say. If you just get wind that the dude's in a hotel room and people are trying to talk him out of it, now, like I said, I have my beliefs, what I just said earlier, but you know how the NBA goes. Hell, if Allen Iverson, you know, can't get a shot, you know, the NBA, you think they're gonna let Lamar Odom, who's stuck in a hotel in a motel room, well, family people trying to talk him out of getting out of that hotel room, his NBA career is shot. Yeah. He right now, this last year, the Clippers, overweight and fuck, you can't be an overweight crackhead playing 82 games. I'm sorry. That was the last time you're going to see Lamar Odom in the NBA court again, unless he could find a way to get his agent to say, hey, he wasn't in this hotel room and blah, 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 blah. And he shows off he's in great shape and he had a smile on his face, which I doubt is going to happen. You know, cats like that, you know, have no smile on his face by Monday of next week.
You know what, Dave? I think this sort of goes, you know, this sort of goes back to what you were saying about, you know, about happiness and stuff, and, you know, how a person, regardless of the fame and the, you know, the amount of money they have, they aren't happy. And, you know, it's the a crazy parallel, you know, since you're dealing with another Kardashian. But, you know, I think these guys, or at least Lamar in his situation, you know, he's been a person who's had a lot of tragedies in his life, but he's never been happy. And that's been evident through the way that he played. And, you know, you sort of get that self-destructive sort of nature and that self-destructive mentality going, where you don't really give a damn about anything. And, you know, for people like that, and it might sound cold and it might sound, you know, horrible or whatever, but man, I don't really have any fucking sympathy for him. Like, I don't feel sorry for him. It's fucked up what happened, or it's fucked up what he decided to do, but like, I don't really have any sympathy for him. Or like, you know, the situation with, the dude that was on the Disney Channel, Jed Jackson, and him killing himself a few weeks ago. Like, I don't have a fucking sympathy for him. Like, these are people that, you know...
You're working! You got money and you working. I know things are hard, but you got a better lifestyle than the average American, but you may not be where you at, and then you go off the deep end. Yeah, I could feel that point where you're saying that you don't feel sorry for them.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, it's that might sound cold and callous, but I, in my opinion, no sympathy, man.
Just nope. Like how I feel about fat people.
There you go. Same way.
There you go.
Same way.
I got one major point about Lamar. I was telling a few people about Lamar. I don't have no respect for Lamar. I used to fuck Lamar Hard Body, DSI, back in the day. You know, my man's from NY, you know. I mean, the way I said, you know, he's same age as me. I have to follow this dude. But the way he did his baby moms, like, yeah. He don't, because think about it, his baby mom didn't even know he was going to marry Chloe. He literally, what he did was cold and calculated and precise of what he wanted to do outside of basketball. Get with a Kardashian. That's that pop status that leads to other shit, because you know he's at the end of his NBA career at that point. He's already been in the league for 10 years, 12 years, he got with Chloe. 30 days later, he's trying to marry her, and it took 2 months to take care of a prenup before it was official. Come on, you know that was a publicity stunt. But he was calculated, and his baby mom didn't even know. His baby mom was the one holding him down when their son died, and how, I mean, they, whatever problems they had, he didn't even tell her that he was bouncing. She thought everything was cool. And then he won this lifestyle. He got the Kardashian lifestyle, and I'm not blaming anything on Khloe. We can say the same thing Lamar, we said earlier in the show. We can tie this back in with Kanye. He's made close to over $100 million inside of the NBA. I shit you not, Lamar's made that much money with his NBA contract, the big contract of Miami, and an extension with the Lakers. He's made close to $100 million, and he wanted extra fame to outside of basketball life because he ain't got no real skills. He went to Rhode Island for 1 year, basically one semester before he got drafted to the NBA. Dude was smoking the whole time until like he got to the spring semester and then went to the NBA draft. You know, see, he was calculated what he wanted to do outside of basketball, left his baby moms, got this whole other lifestyle, and we're seeing him deepen. It may not be Khloe who did what that turned him over to the dark side to where he's at right now, but this is a whole other celebrity that some people ain't built for it. Only a certain amount of people can handle this. And as you can probably count on so many hands, he ain't built for it. That's a New York nigga who's
smoking. And you know what, too? You know what, too, Dave? You know, and by saying that, you know, I don't have any sympathy for him. Doesn't mean that.
No, sympathy. You just ain't got for it. It's a whole different thing. I'm not saying sympathy.
Right. I was gonna say that some people like that. This type of stuff, and it's amazing in this day and age that these things don't come out more. But the celebrities, the athletes, like they do a whole lot of crazy fucked up shit, and nobody finds out about. You know, 80 to 90% of it. Like how this got out, I'm not sure. But man,
you find about it when their career is over and they're broken. They're 42.
Right,
that's
right, exactly.
And then they're
exactly.
You don't hear about it when they're still in the limelight all
like,
the time.
And it's amazing to me just some of the stories that you hear about like after. These guys have either left the league or, you know, they've fallen off or, you know, something like that. Like, because I guarantee you there's so many stories about athletes and celebrities that we love that if we heard them, we would completely dislike them.
And yeah.
It just amazes me that type of stuff, even in this day and age, doesn't get out, man.
Well, eventually it will, though, because we see them that they're broken, they ain't got no money, and you see them in jail and shit like that. And we say, oh, such and such is in jail for tax evasion. But tax evasion is another word for him copping a plea for some other shit, and they got him on something concrete because he got a good-ass lawyer. You know, he didn't pay, you know, all the other stuff that we hear when they're like 45 and 48. Or Allen Iverson is fucking 37 and broke his hell into alcoholic, and we see all the problems with him, you know. So
let this be a reminder to all of our Jump Off listeners out there, really take time to appreciate what you have and try to have that peace within yourself, because constantly striving for more and more is not going to necessarily make you happier.
And we're not saying you got to be content, but it's at the same time, though, it's the obsession of more.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
There's something called the disease of more.
Yeah, there's one thing to strive to be better, and it's that obsession that leads you down the wrong path.
Yep.
Obsession is, you know, looked up in the dictionary.
It's not just a cologne.
Yeah.
And perfume from the 80s.
was that Lizzo Taylor who had obsession?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, man, this has been a great show. Wow.
Man,
Yeah, that's about it. That's all we got for tonight, Jump Off Fans. We can probably, I feel like we can go for like 2-3 more hours, but we'll cut it right here. And next week, I think we should definitely start gearing up for the few trips we have coming up. And
I'm looking at the tickets right now. it's on the refrigerator. It says Mayweather Alvarez.
Yeah. So we want to probably get your predictions that do name Dave. I want you to do a Dave's Fight Corner next week. I think that'd be good.
Mm-hmm. I think we should. Besides of, I'm not gonna do that because I want to be able to stream live in Vegas and tell you my predictions before the fight happens.
Okay, cool. It's like you did last year. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I will stream that shit and then give it to you while I'm on the strip and getting it in.
Okay, no doubt.
We can talk about it. We can do a lead up like Breaking Bad. Just keep building up to the finale.
A teaser.
Yeah, you know. Do
it. Yeah, tips wet.
Yeah, tips segment. Wet, flash forward. How we want to do this. You know?
No doubt.
Hey, real fast, shout out to Breaking Bad for just being probably the best last season of TV, prematurely right now through 3 episodes, but right now, 3rd, going to 4, probably the best TV I've seen ever for our last season. So shout out to that for giving me amp, man. That's what got me all riled up, people. It's because we were talking about Breaking Bad before we started recording, and that has got me on a whole nother level, you know.
No, TV at its best, definitely. Well, we hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Jump Off Podcast, and we look forward to bring y'all our latest and greatest again next week. We'll holler at y'all soon. Peace.
Jump off.
Fuck with us. What you want, bump, double clip, bump, ride by, slump, jump off, homie, jump off. All these haters on my, we'll jump off. And all the streets need is, jump off, jump off.